Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors will convene today, and let's see. Mr. Kiernan, lead us in the flag to the podium.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Chaplain.
Yes, sir. Would you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we ask for guidance and for wisdom, for support on behalf of our Board of Supervisors as they begin this meeting. I ask that you grant them several things. Grant them wisdom to govern as they consider the interests and the challenging issues facing our county. And Lord, would you grant them a clear understanding of the needs of our people and the actions that must be taken to address those needs. I ask that you would grant them a passion for what is just and right, and the confidence that all in leadership need to pursue the right course. And it is in your Son's name we ask these things. Amen.
Amen.
Wendy, roll call, please.
Supervisor Chris.
Present.
Supervisor Cobbsack.
Here.
Supervisor Haupt.
Present.
Supervisor Ogren.
Here.
And Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
Okay, before we get started, I'm going to turn to the county administrator to make an announcement regarding capacity issues with COVID.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the board, Angela Davis, County Administrator. I would just like to advise the board as well as the public that is in attendance today and as well as those that are called into the meeting that we are currently at capacity within the board chambers. And so what I would like to request is that if there is any additional folks that would like to come in, those that are currently in attendance now, once they are done with their business or they have the ability to exit, then we can then replace them with someone that has a statement or a public comment. We just want to be mindful of the restrictions that we are currently under. So thank you.
Thank you. And you know, to add on to that, we can take the time to do whatever we need to do from a public comment standpoint. So I'm going to move on to presentations from the public, item number 4. This time slots for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You'll be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. The chair can extend the time to 5 for appropriate circumstances. Written comments can be presented if so desired by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments, and please address the board as a whole through the chair, and comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of this board. So I have one public comment for general public comments. There is opportunity to participate in any agenda item as we move through. So this is general public comment at this point. I have a blue card from Mr. Ed, and I'm sorry, sir, I don't want to mispronounce your last name.
That's fine, Mr. Ott. Sundry's Art. Thanks. That's how it's pronounced. I appreciate it.
Sir, right over here to the podium.
Okay.
Because of Zoom, we have to be cognizant of microphones all over the place.
No problem. No problem. My name is Ed Sundry, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you again today. I was here in November of last year, and at that time we addressed the fact that my belief that the water issues that the county was facing would have a humanitarian crisis Shasta Vista, and I think we're at that crisis right now. There are men, women, and children who are struggling to get water down there, and many of them have nothing to do with the cannabis issue. On May 27th of this year, my wife and I were down at Mount Shasta City, and at the park there, there's this elderly Hmong couple having to go to the springs there and get water in bottles. They had driven all the way from Shasta Vista down to Mount Shasta City to get water in bottles, and then this elderly couple is carrying these bottles about 200 feet to get to their trucks so they bring them home. But that's how they were getting water for their own survival. On May 14th, I talked to a young man named Pao Lee. Pao Lee had gone and got a container, and he had 120 gallons of water He was taking it to his grandfather. And as he turned off of A-12 onto Bonanza, he was stopped, and his vehicle was impounded and seized. He still doesn't have his vehicle. I've talked to the sheriff. The sheriff says they cannot release the vehicle until the case is adjudicated and that the district attorney has a year to decide whether to file charges. Well, here's a young man without his vehicle, and the whole issue is over 20 gallons of water. I spoke with Karen Bain. She was traveling to her home in Shasta Vista on May 11th. As she was traveling home, she had obtained 100 gallons exactly of water. As she was going to her home, she was stopped by sheriff's deputies, who told her that she would have to prove that the water was not going to be used for cannabis. And so they followed her to her home so she could prove it. This is a family that has, I think, 60 chickens and 4 goats and a bunch of dogs. Okay. And they went onto her property to examine her property to see that she didn't have cannabis there. And yet she's carrying a legal amount of water, and they threatened to seize her vehicle. Talked to another man who told me he can't get water because if he goes to somebody to get water, they have to have a permit to sell him water. And then and of course, if you have a truck, you have to get a permit to get any water over 100 gallons. They have to get.
You can go to 5.
Pardon?
You can go to 5 minutes.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I didn't realize it took that long. So, this year, there's been a couple times, May 26th, a number of armed civilians in trucks accompanied the sheriff to a number of sites in which they have destroyed the property there. These were warrantless excursions, and they were the property owner himself wasn't there, the property that was destroyed was that of others. There were tenants. The destruction itself probably did more ecological damage than the grows themselves. So just imagine 20 or 30 men in pickup trucks whose license plates have been covered, carrying guns, suddenly show up in your neighborhood and destroying your neighbor's property. What you've allowed here reminds me of what my wife and I encountered in communist Laos when working on the genocide of the Hmong there. It is reminiscent of the persecution of the Hmong in Laos, where vigilantes, sanctioned by the government, tear down churches, destroy crops, destroy homes because of a perceived infraction. I am not an advocate of cannabis. I am an advocate for my fellow veterans of the war in Southeast Asia. Every Hmong man over the age of 60 in Shasta Vista is a veteran of the secret war. I am an advocate of professional law enforcement, the rule of law, and basic human rights. As sergeant of the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department and retired as chief investigator for the Butte County District Attorney, my life has been dedicated to professional law enforcement. This is not professional law enforcement. Excuse me for saying this, but this is the Wild Wild West. And thank you for allowing me the time.
Thank you. Any other public comment from the audience at this time?
First and foremost,
we need a name, sir.
My name is Peter Tao.
Peter, thank you.
Yes. First and foremost, good morning, the Board of Supervisors, Mr. Chris, Mr. Venezuela, Mr. Kossif, Ms. Organ, and Mr. Hoff, Sheriff Lopi, all honorable judges of Siskiyou County, members of the press, and members of the Siskiyou community at large. My name is Peter Tao. I am speaking this morning on behalf of the Asian American and other minorities in Siskiyou County. I am an Asian American, and like many of you, I contribute my share to this country just like you, and in fact, we all contribute our fair shares as U.S. citizens and as taxpayers. Just weeks after the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors passed ordinance to oppress and ultimately deny Asian American access to water supplies and private wells, as well as the ongoing harassment and coercion from the Sheriff Department. We are sad to announce that one of our community members had died. With this being said, our prayers and condolences goes to the family. Like many of us, she had suffered a high stage of depression due to the lack of water and fearful of the ongoing harassing and scare tactics due to the lack of tactics to force us out of this county by local authorities and government. Many of us fear that the ongoing denial of water necessity, access to daily supplies, racial profiling, discriminations, as well as law enforcement scary tactics will cause more deaths in our community. I want to say that in the eyes of those who hate Asians, based on our color and culture, for those who see us as an outsiders, invaders, strangers, however, in our Christian hearts, we see us, you and us, as brothers and sisters from a different mother and father. According to the law of the Bible, we are all brothers and sisters under one God. In this moment of desperation, we would like to call on you to show us your brother and sisterhood, your friendship, your compassion, your understanding. With that being said, we mean no harm. In the last 4 to 5 years of our newly establishment in this county, we have helped drive revenues to local businesses, restaurants, supermarkets, real estate, and hardware stores. Although it was clearly stated on social media that this county does not, and I shall repeat that, does not accept our kind. It also elaborates that we should go back to our country. This is our country. As an American, we belong here too. Like many of you, we just want to become self-sufficient so that we can help our families and not depend on the tax dollars like many others in this country. Denying Asian American and other minorities access to water and supplies is ineffective and inefficient, and it is a high stake. I just want to share a statistic. According to Google in 2018, over 500,000 people were counted as homeless in the United States, and of those, 35% were counted unsheltered, and 65% were sheltered. The overall homeless population represents 0.2% of the U.S. population, and of the 17 per 10,000 in the population. Therefore, we strongly ask that you understand or stand by us and with us during this moment of desperation, just like our grandfathers, our fathers, our big brothers did in the Vietnam War when the United States CIA called upon our people to fight, rescue, and protect the American soldiers by bringing them back home safely to their families' union. In the past month, we are experiencing, witnessing, and struggling in our current situation that the American people, our forefathers, spoke so proudly does not represent that image. It does not feel like we are in a country of peace, freedom, and liberty. It feels much like the communists we once fled. The sacrifice of our countless bloodshed and lives lost in the Vietnam War as Your allies has earned us our right to be here with honor. We are proud to be an American. We see America as our home and country as well. This, I'd like to deliver this message on behalf of the community, personally to Sheriff LaRue. He stated that he is a native of Siskiyou County, and on his website, he will aim to improve the quality of life, safety for the residents and the guests of the Siskiyou County through fresh and innovative approaches. Telling business owners not to serve us because we are Asian, and not putting a stop to his officer from destroying private properties. Coercions, harassing drivers, seizing, searching vehicles simply because we are Asian. Is he living to his promise to the people of Siskiyou County? Sheriff LaRue, do you see us as a threat to the community? Have we killed or robbed anyone since our establishment in this county?
30 seconds.
Have we destroyed anyone's property or caused destructions anywhere within his jurisdiction of law enforcement? What harm have we caused to the Siskiyou County, the community, that caused lawmakers, peace officers, to target us in such a way that we have caused our people to suffer depression, stress, and mental displacement? If any of the questions stated above are not true, I strongly, please, we ask that you reevaluate your decisions and withdraw the recent ordinance and actions against Asian American and restore access to our water and supplies immediately. We encourage that as a local government, please do the right thing under the United States Constitution. Lift the recent ordinance, stop racial profiling, stop bulldozing private properties, stop coercions, scary taxes to push Asian American out of the county, stop harassing, seizing and searching our vehicle just because we are Asian. Again, we are calling upon friends, allies, and all of the residents of Siskiyou County and community to show us your brotherhood and sisters, your friendship, your compassion, your understanding. I repeat, no harm. We ask that the local government and our community come together as a nation to educate the lacks within. Acknowledge and learn from one another to make Siskiyou County a better and safer community. Accept the diversity of Siskiyou County to live in unity. We as an Asian descend from many different backgrounds and culture, beliefs, and are proud to be an American. That's why we are here, and that's why we are who we are, Asian American. We see America as our home, and we are here in Siskiyou County to stay. So please, we need our water restored immediately and promptly. We are here to seek peace, not enemies. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to go at this time to Zoom for public comment. If there's any public comment and you're on the Zoom call, please raise your hand by pressing *9 so you can be recognized. And I'll remind you, 3 minutes, please.
Nick Jocelyn, go ahead and unmute.
Battery 100%.
Okay, we can.
I'm sorry, can you please start over?
Okay. Nick Jocelyn, I live in the Little Shasta Valley. During the Memorial Day weekend, our science team watched that the Shasta River has been very nearly dried up as a result of irrigation diversion. Closely monitor a network of stream gauges on the Shasta River. These gauges have been installed by state and federal agencies over the last decade during various actions aimed at protecting fish habitat. No one is physically allowed to access the river because it flows through private land owned by cattle ranchers. Here's what we know. Beginning on May 23rd, the flow, as measured by the USGS flow sensors near Montague and Yreka, began to increase. By May 26th, flow in the river was at its highest point seen since irrigation began on April 1st, nearly 60 cubic feet a second. May 26th, flow began to quickly fall, then leveled out at about 20 CFS. Then on May 29th, the USGS station near Montague showed the river falling to nearly dry, less than 5 cubic feet a second. On May 30th, the gauge at the mouth of the river showed barely 6 cubic feet a second. This is all in a time of year when the river's natural base flow, even in drought, is normally above 100 cubic feet a second. I just wanted to bring attention to that issue. Another water issue going on currently in the Shasta Valley as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Next caller.
Number 9474.
Good morning. My name is Kendra Sanito. I live out in Big Springs. And I'd like to address the fact that we have laws, and laws need to be followed, no matter what nation you're in, and especially in this nation. And we respect the fact that our county has looked at laws as they are in their purest form. They have no race, no ethnicity, no color attached to them. They are pure, just as water. And if you don't follow laws, you have no nation, and we must follow them. And we respect the county for doing so. But when you come to an area like I did, the first thing that I needed to do was to get the permit for my property to be able to have a septic, a well, and a home structure. It's the law, and it's required that you do that. I understand when you don't have water, but that's what you do, is you drill a well to have the water that's needed for your survival on that land. If your land was told to you that it had water when it did not, then the real estate people are the one that you know what need to go back to mitigate that. But this denying of a permit is not happening. They have no denial of a permit because you never went in to get a permit. You know, I keep seeing the narrative shifted beyond what the community has always relied upon as what we are focused on, and that's the law. And if you're growing 1,000 plants, that's beyond the law. You can have 6 plants. So taking the water for growing the plants on a site makes no, it's not a narrative. It's not a narrative because it's against the law. So I commend this county for obeying the law and wanting to put the law in place, the provisions in place to protect us all, because this environmental catastrophe is coming, and everybody in this county is going to suffer at the lawlessness of those that choose to go beyond the law, to circumvent it, to abuse it for things that are lawless. And that's all I've got to say. Thank you, county.
Next caller.
Cop Go Crew, go ahead and unmute.
All are identified as Cop Go Crew.
Hi, thank you. It's Chrissy Reynolds from COPCO.
Good morning.
I'm calling to make my comments about the MOU that was signed by the county. It would have been really nice if we, the community of COPCO, was let known that this was going to be happening. We had no idea that the county was going to be signing a memorandum of understanding with the KRRC. And that being said, I don't think that in that MOU there was enough necessarily asked for. Last year, the road at Edgar Beswick was repaired with the chip sealing at the top of Edgar Beswick at the beginning. And just in that year since that improvement has been done, it's degraded quite a bit, and that's just with normal regular road use and county usage. The heavy equipment or things that were talked about in the proposed dam removal, there's no way these roads can sustain that, and I don't think that the amount that was asked for will cover the expenses for that. Not to mention the danger that it puts our community in, as there is only one way in and one way out, and delays on our road. You know, there is the golden hour for any life-saving or life-threatening event. And in that golden hour, if it takes 40 minutes to get there, emergency crews to get here on a good day, any sort of road closures or road delays are life-threatening. I do want to thank the county for their continued work, but I have several concerns about the work that's being done by RES right now at Iron Gate. I know that one of our citizen journalists, Captain Bill Simpson, has been documenting with photographs the habitat destruction that they're doing in, at Iron Gate with the weed eating. And it's really hard to say that that is going to be a restoration project when it's actually destruction that's being done. So I don't see the benefit of the weed eating. They say it's for the invasive species, but what they're doing is they're eliminating critical habitat for threatened and endangered species that exist here besides the fish. That is not being addressed adequately.
There's
more I could say, but I know that there's a lot of people here, so thank you for your time.
Yeah, Chrissy, could I ask you to wrap it up, please?
She did.
Okay.
Richard?
Caller identified as Richard. Richard?
Yes, this is Richard Marshall, rancher out in Scott Valley, and also president of Siskiyou Water Users. And I'm speaking in my capacity as president of Siskiyou Water Users today to you, Chairman Hout, and to the rest of the members of the board. There are three issues I want to speak to. One is the MOU, the second is a proposed strategic water policy, and the third item is regarding the activity by RES to destroy habitat around the reservoirs. Our group, Siskiyou County Water Users, as well as the Lake Copto folks, were surprised, as you heard, to see the MOU and the language therein, which in general would appear to have required a public hearing before entering into the MOU, which will so dramatically affect the lives of those located in that disadvantaged community. As far as we are aware, there was no attempt on the part of DOS or the employees to discuss the service levels and engineering determinations regarding the proposed bridge modifications, traffic control, surfacing, and or lane reductions and timing of same. Specifically in that document of concern on the preliminary work payoff account, a $810,000 cap, which looks to be on the light side and concern to the additional provisions of Section 5 on oversight, this load is permitted, coupled with the provision of Section 6, opening sentence that the payment is sufficient to cover all county costs. When reviewing the last paragraph on page 8.5, excessive wear and tear must be identified within 90 days after completion of construction activity. It would appear that any unseen damage potentially would not get paid except by the county. The county is apparently at the mercy of KRC when it comes to recovering additional funding from the escrowed funds or repairing later discovered damages. KRC has reserved that right to terminate the negotiations. We would also raise the question as why the Caltrans design standards aren't being used, since the state of California has declared this to be a project for the state of California and are funding it through the Department of Natural Resources. The second item is regarding the resolution submitted by the Board of SCUA to BOS a couple of weeks ago, suggesting the county needs to develop a forward-looking strategic water reserve policy. This policy has been suggested would incorporate a number of water issues, including perfecting the 60,000-acre-foot water right to the county for benefit of Shasta Valley. We encourage the county to move forward on that, and the water users stands ready to meet with the county to further explore this important policy. We encourage the county, therefore, to utilize the powers vested in the county through the flood control and water conservation. The final item I speak to is the recent revelation by photos by Captain William Simpson capturing the effort by RES to destroy habitation around the reservoirs in anticipation of potential diarrhea. What is unique about the effort is the boldness of their effort, which would most likely result in heavy fines to any other individual or corporation. I know that the board has just recently received this information, and we expect a thorough investigation and documentation of this blatant act against the environment will be documented. Thank you, Commissioner Washington.
Thank you. Next caller.
Jennifer L. Dickinson.
Hi, this is Jennifer L. Dickinson. I am a Siskiyou County resident, and I am going to be speaking on two issues. Briefly, I'm going to speak about the comments that were made about the water in the illegal groves. I will not be making this about race. I do understand the horribleness of race. I am married to an American who is of Asian descent. This isn't about race in this county. This is about not following the laws. First off, the water. The wells that were put in the Shasta Vista area were put in under county code. What is happening now out there is that people are transporting water onto these lands that they bought and are illegally growing marijuana. This is not about supplying water to people that need water for their own necessities. This is about commercial illegal grows.
The impounds that were talked about.
This is about the commercial illegal grows, and those impounds were supporting those illegal grows. The destruction of property, it was mentioned that court orders were entered, it was mentioned that people were entering the lands illegally and destroying property. This is not true. There were court orders that the sheriff received in order to circumvent the illegal grows. Again, we are law-abiding citizens. We have to obey the laws. And these people out there that are doing the illegal grows are not obeying the laws. They have homes all over the United States. They come here and grow and take that marijuana to other states where it's illegal to sell, and they make top dollar. They do not pay taxes. They make comments that they're here and they help the economy. Yes, but at an expense of an environmental disaster. We need water for legal, law-abiding citizens. We want people to follow the laws, and we want people to stop evading taxes. Quit making this about something that's not. My other reason for coming onto this call is also regarding the MOU that was introduced by Elizabeth Nielsen on April 20th, 2020. The memorandum was approved by the board. I am saying to you today that I think you violated governmental code, Article 2.5, Development Agreement, Section 6.5, I also want to bring a note to you.
Ms. Dickinson, you're going in and out.
I'm sorry.
Breaking up.
You're breaking up a little bit.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, if you could summarize, please.
Okay, I just want to state that I think the code was violated. Government code requires notice and that the public be made aware and also to make their comments, and this was not done. The problem that I saw was horribly submitted a letter by the KRC to FERC, and in it it says, we jointly recommend requests that in the event the commission issues the final order granting the application to surrender the license for the major project and removal of the project works, that the commission require, and then I just want to state that it makes it look like you guys don't oppose the removal. This, you guys should have submitted a letter to FERC as well stating your opposition. Even though it does state in the second paragraph that the county opposed it, it's just, it's ludicrous that you guys entered this agreement without giving notice to the people so that we have the right to comment. Most of the comments were made by Richard and the lady from the COPCO crew. The only other thing that I do want to say is that the impacts are huge. And it just seems like everybody is just brushing off.
Ms. Dickinson, we need you to wrap it up.
Okay, so I just want you to say that, want you to realize that I thank you for everything you've done on the illegal pot grows out in Shasta Vista and all over the county, but please, please, do not negotiate with KRC without including the public in on any of your negotiations. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to make a procedural announcement.
Right.
You going to say something?
No, if you already have it, please move forward. Yeah.
I do. Okay. Those wishing to speak on 12A and 12B, it's probably appropriate that you do so at this time. I'm going to move that up in the schedule to actually right after public comment. But be aware there'll likely be a motion to continue both those items to a future date. So I have two comment cards here in front of me from people, or three actually, people who wanted to speak on 12A and 12B. One is anonymous. I don't know who that is.
Through the chair.
Yeah.
Are you opening the hearing?
Not yet.
Are we still in?
Can you too?
No, council told me not to. So.
No, I would just suggest open them one at a time, 12A.
I will do that as soon as I hear this. Or do you want this public comment as part of the hearing?
Yes, you can do that, and then okay. And then after having taken public comments, if you wish, make a motion.
Okay. All right. So, I'm going to open a public hearing on item 12A. Let me get 12A is the ordinance, second ordinance regarding water trucks, and I'll receive public comment at this time.
Good morning. I would like to remain anonymous. I'm here to tell a story. A story I never forget, a story I lived through, a story I witnessed. My father lost his eyesight, protecting the Americans. My grandparents and his family died protecting the American. I was told by my father that the American were his brothers and his sisters. But today, for me to witness all the mistreatment, racial profiling, and the water crisis against one particular group is injustice. What's happening in my county is what I lived through as a little girl. I remember in a small refugee camp in Thailand where I was born and raised, I had to witness getting bullied every day. Not allowed to go into town to make purchases. Not allowed to go to school to my skin color. Women being raped, people being forced to leave the refugee camp. My parents took me to the U.S. for freedom. The freedom of not getting execution due to my father. He fought alongside the Americans during the secret war. What's happening here in Siskiyou County is saddening for me. I want to remind everyone a quote from the Bible, Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commitment. And the second is like this, love your neighbor as yourself. So today, I am here to ask my board of supervisors, please reconsider your decision. Make Siskiyou County a great county, a county of color diversity, a county with love for others. There are ways, like education and trainings, we can come together and work together. My brothers and my sister, my board of supervisors, I thank you all. My county, thank you.
Thank you. I can't read the last name. Does Allison wish to speak at this time?
Both of us are going to speak.
Okay.
I'm going to go first and then Allison. Thank you.
And you are James?
That's right. Good morning, Board of Supervisors. Thanks for taking the time to listen to us today. My name is James Raza Lawrence. I'm an attorney at the Margolin & Lawrence Law Firm, and I'm here with my partner, Allison Margolin. Today, we're going to be filing a federal lawsuit in the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of California, Sacramento Courthouse, seeking a temporary restraining order and an injunction to stop enforcement of the water truck ban and the water extraction permit ordinance that were passed on an emergency basis by this board on May 4th. Based on the passage of these ordinances on May 4th, there's over 1,000 Hmong people in the Shasta Vista subdivision who now have no access to water for drinking, cooking, bathing, washing clothes and dishes, and cars, flushing toilets, watering food crops, nourishing livestock, and fighting fires. I've heard from members of the community the day after the ordinance passed, on May 5th, there were two residences that burned down to the ground after water trucks were unable to get to them to put it out. It took 45 minutes for the fire department to get there, and they're already burned down. And the people who live in these communities, they have a real need for water. The Brookings Foundation has done a study of what the average usage is. It's about 124 gallons per day for typical domestic use in California. That's the average. In the rural areas, it would be more than that where you have crops and livestock. But just using that figure, that would be 496 thousands of gallons of water for domestic use per day that the Hmong community would need in Siskiyou County, which is approximately 4,000 people. Now, with the 100-gallon limit on the truck can carry, that's about 5,000 truckloads of water going to these communities that would be needed per day. It's unrealistic that it's creating the need for way too much traffic, and it's really making it difficult for these people to live here. They don't have the water they need to sustain life. And the Hmong people feel like they're being driven away from the community. There may be some people who are unlawfully cultivating cannabis, but the entire community is not. And this method is overbroad. It's essentially punishing everybody for the actions of a few. Now, there's already various laws that can be used to go after the cannabis cultivation, including felony charges for cultivating that damages the environment or the water. There's no need for this overbroad water ban that really punishes the entire community. One of the problems with this water truck ban is it only applies to certain roads, and they happen to be concentrated all around the Hmong community. It makes them feel like they're being targeted, and they're essentially pariahs in the community. There was a 2020 document put out by the Sheriff's Department, the fiscal year 2021 annual strategic plan, identified over 2,500 illegal cannabis grows in Siskiyou County, but only 80 of them, about 3%, were in the Shasta Vista subdivision. Yet this one area is being targeted for enforcement and having draconian laws that don't apply to the rest of the county. Now, in a recent interview with the press, District Attorney Kurt Andrews said, "We're not pretending this is something that's trying to regulate anything except for water being used for cannabis. It's a way to enforce California's and Siskiyou's cannabis laws. That's what it's for. It's not designed to protect the aquifer or the groundwater." Now, that's not what we were told on May 4th. The entire justification for these ordinances were to protect the groundwater. The emergency ordinance on May 4th, it said right on there in the beginning it was being enacted because there was a drought and that the water on the trucks was depleting precious groundwater resources. And these losses jeopardize the lawful agricultural, recreational, private, and environmental use of water for thousands of residents. Now the DA says that's not true.
Can you summarize, please?
Yes. We'll be filing claims for violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment based on race, treating Hmong people of Siskiyou County as a suspect class, and also for violation of due process rights under the 14th Amendment, seizing trucks and water rights, access to water with no due process. We respectfully request the board voluntarily put on hold enforcing these ordinances so we don't need to litigate them on an emergency basis in federal court. There are people suffering, and it would not harm the county to put these ordinances on hold while giving the court time to sort it out. Thank you.
Good morning to the Board of Supervisors. My name is Allison Margolda, and I'm partners with Mr. Lawrence. I will not repeat anything that he said. I just wanted to maybe give a little context and suggestions regarding how we see the situation. In addition to practicing civil law and criminal defense, we've actually helped people get licenses for cannabis all over the state. And what's going on here is very unusual. All over Northern California, we have communities that have licensed people where they have hoop houses and agricultural communities to do cannabis activities. And I think that's obviously what's going on here, is that there are, and now, as Mr. Lawrence indicated, only 80 of the 2,500 illegal grows are even allegedly taking place on the roads that are being targeted. But I think that what's going on here is that the community at large sees and is trying to do, not at large, but people out there are trying to basically do a land grab here. They want to make it that the Hmong give up their property so that others end up being able to buy it for cheap prices. And then, lo and behold, 2 years later, maybe there'll be a proposed cannabis ordinance that will allow people to then grow cannabis, but it won't be the Hmong. And why would I think this? Well, all the other ordinances in rural areas across the state have either, I'm talking about Calaveras County, Santa Barbara County, Ventura Unincorporated, Mendocino. These are all examples where the county, in order to reduce the issues that are allegedly the problem, tax evasion, all these other things, they have allowed people in these areas to apply for licensing, which, by the way, just if you were going to license hoop houses, $5,000 a hoop house times 5,000 hoop houses is $25 million just on hoop houses alone. Then the licensing allows the Fish and Wildlife to come in and see if there's any issues with the water. It makes people have to have inspections. And obviously where this happens, there's no issues with the water, and somehow now the illegal cannabis not only becomes legal, but taxable, and does all the things that I think we're looking for. It reduces alleged environmental pollution, all these things. So this whole situation here is basically a falsely created situation where the board has the opportunity and the community to license these, to license cannabis. And in the meantime, what's happening is an effort to discriminate against Asian Americans with this ostensible reason of cannabis. It's clearly not true. 80 out of 2,500 illegal grows are taking place on these roads. That's from the Sheriff's Department. That's what Mr. Lawrence just put it. That's from your own Sheriff's Department. There's no way to justify an emergency ordinance that deprives men, women, children of water. People who came here through a resettlement treaty, the Resettlement Treaty of 1983, after they fought for the United States in a war. This is not illegal immigration. This is a treaty between actually United States and the Hmong of 1961 that is being, I think, violated actually by the county, because that treaty basically entitled the Hmong to come here after they fought the war and have basic human rights. And they're being deprived of basic human rights, water rights. And in addition to that, the board's on notice that there are people in the community on social media that are turning this into a civil war. Is this worth a civil war? And this is why we're asking the federal courts to step in to basically prevent vigilante justice. And whether it's intentional or whether it's negligent, that's what's happening. And we wanted to make sure that, I know that the board is aware of that, but that is what's happening. And to continue to allow this law, to allow the sheriffs to deputize civilians in the name of enforcing it, it's promoting civil war, and that's treason. And as Mr. Warren's indicated, we encourage the board to, today, during this closed session, decide not to enforce these two ordinances, either the water truck ordinance or the extraction ordinance, which is for the same purpose. And on that, I'll submit. Thank you so much.
I think there's one caller online. Put your hand up.
Number 0599, please go ahead and unmute.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Hi, this is Charlene Watkins. I'm a resident of Big Springs. I've lived out here since 1995. At this point, I feel like spitting bullets or whatever. I'm tired of the dialogue that makes the individuals out here that are black market growers of marijuana sound innocent. They knew what they were getting into. These individuals have homes all over the United States. They're not innocent. If we're going to quote the Bible says, when justice is done, it is a joy to the righteous, but a terror to the evildoers. That's Proverbs 21:15. I am so tired of hearing this dialogue. We have been subjected to massive traffic out here at the beginning of the year. People speeding, people intimidating us. You can't go to the local store anymore without the lookouts being there taking pictures of you. I was at the protest. These people are not nice. They were criticizing our law enforcement, calling them thieves. They were yelling and screaming. We were intimidated by a couple of Asian men in the group that were saying, "We'll remember your face. We'll remember your face," pointing at us. The rest of them were shaking water bottles. If they need drinking water, fine. But who needs 45 plus 100 gallons of water for 50 water trucks a day for drinking water? This community out here is not a community. It is squalor out there. I dare anyone to drive out there and not get followed by the community out there and get intimidated. I've been out there. I've been followed. I've been intimidated. I've had people take my license plates down. I'm just really fed up with this whole situation with these individuals. They need to follow the law and the water laws. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you, Sheriff LaRue.
Unless there's further comment, I'm going to make a motion to continue item 12A, which will allow the county to streamline our processes.
Do we have a specific date?
Yep, let's pick one.
The next meeting is June 15th, and then after that will be July, the first two Tuesdays in July.
July. Okay. I'm sorry, what's the date of July?
The first two Tuesdays. I don't have July up there.
July 6th is and the first meeting.
6 and 13.
Yes, right down at the bottom right there.
Which one do we want?
That one.
July 6th.
July 6th at 9 o'clock or soon thereafter.
This should be sufficient time.
Thank you.
Are we just continuing or do we need the motion?
Yes, we like the motion.
And question to the chair, does that provide staff adequate time to bring it back? and I'm looking, I guess, I know council will be involved, but I think the Ag Department, Community Development, I know they've got a lot on their plate. I'm trying to, yes?
Our expectation, okay. I will work with staff if it turns out we need additional time, we can continue.
Okay.
Okay, that it?
That's it.
So, roll call. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbs?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Thank you.
We'll open the public hearing on 12B. Accept any public comment before I make a motion.
Seeing none online.
None online. Seeing none in the courtroom. Making a motion to also continue item 12B for the same date.
Second. And to the chair, is this also going to provide enough time? I'm looking at, okay. That's all I need. Thank you.
A motion in the second window.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kobsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Thank you.
All right, moving back to item 5, which is consent agenda. I'm looking for any items to be pulled.
If there's none to be pulled, I would move to approve the entire consent agenda.
I'm going to pull item I.
Okay, with that exception.
Second?
Aye. And helped for second, correct?
Yes.
Okay, Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Helped?
Aye. Item I. You know what? You guys changed it. I pulled the wrong one. I wanted the letter. And it's not the same order as the one I have in the draft, so. That's okay. I'll just make my comment now on the letter for opening the road, the Grayback Road, which is item
D.
D.
E, as in Elizabeth.
Oh, there it is.
Yes.
E. All I want to say is thank you for getting this letter together in a timely manner. I also wanted to say that to let the board know that I'm hearing a little bit of a rumor about a litigation filed by an environmental group to stop the rehabilitation on the road Siskiyou. And should that come about, I think that the county should probably intervene or at least provide an amicus brief because it directly threatens public safety. With that, I move to approve I.
Second. E. E. Oh, no, we did E.
We did E already, yeah.
I is hanging out.
Okay. So, Haupt and Kopsev, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren, excuse me.
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye. All right. Item 6A, Siskiyou Outdoor Recreation Alliance.
Hopefully they're coming.
If they're not, I can delay that.
Yeah, why don't we delay it? Because they've decided. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. Your mask just hides you.
Okay. I'll take it off.
Sorry, Justin.
No, that's okay.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for having me here today, folks. I have a little handout. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. Okay.
Can you all hear me okay?
Yeah.
Great. So again, thank you so much, Board of Supervisors, for having me here today. I think I had a PowerPoint presentation that I sent over. Is that available?
I can get that really quick.
Okay. I'll just start talking so as not to take up too much time while you're trying to pull that up. So my name is Justy Hansen, and I'm the executive director of the Siskiyou Outdoor Recreation Alliance. We're actually the merger of two older nonprofits, Mount Shasta Nordic Ski Organization and Mountain Runners. So Mountain Runners hosts the Mount Shasta 4th of July run. That's a 40-year event that's been going on for 40 years. And proceeds from that event benefit youth groups such as Siskiyou County 4-H and Boy Scout groups and youth sports groups. And then the Nordic Center, we're adjacent to the Mount Shasta Ski Park. We provide youth training and skiing and snowshoeing. We serve youth programs from all over the county in the wintertime. So we merged both organizations to be able to sort of broaden our recreation advocacy work in the county, which is really centered around developing outdoor recreation opportunities that support our local economy and promote community health and well-being. So last year, just a little bit of history, we started to receive feedback from community members. They were concerned about the impact of just the influx of outsiders coming in using our recreation areas and the garbage, dogs, not on leashes, and just the impact that was causing concern for locals. Our big concern about that was that we don't want to see tension between locals and visitors, because we believe that recreation is part of the foundation of our local economy, and we want to create sustainable recreational experiences that people keep coming back to support our local economy. But we want our visitors to feel comfortable also enjoying the recreation areas. So sort of like a balancing act. So anyway, well, that was, I think, that
yeah,
was
I'm closing it up. I just want to share it.
So without that in front of me, I'll just sort of wing it here. So we, as we were receiving all this feedback from locals, including the U.S. Forest Service, the Rec and Park District, they're feeling really overwhelmed, particularly with the amount of garbage. And then also just fire dangers become a big concern for us. So we actually sent out a survey around the county to get feedback from locals about what their concerns were. And in that survey, I think we got 1,022 responses from locals. And the main concern was fire danger. So, for example, we have people coming from out of town or from the cities who are not used to camping out in rural areas and perhaps starting a fire. And we all know that's a big concern countywide. Overloaded infrastructure, such as garbage cans. I'm sure you folks have been to Lake Siskiyou, but last summer was just crazy with the amount of diapers, baby clothing, garbage, human waste. I mean, it was just very disturbing. And alienated locals. And again, I think we want to actually promote really positive relationships between locals and visitors, and that's critical to our local economy as we develop that. And then also just a degraded visitor experience is a big concern for us. We don't want people coming from out of town to eat in our restaurants and come to our recreation areas and see garbage and beer cans strewn about. So that's a big concern for us as well. So the feedback, the purpose of the survey was to get feedback from locals, and we had this idea of starting a stewardship corps. And stewardship corps is like any other corps. It's about doing field work, garbage cleanup, and then outreach and education. So we've recently actually partnered with Discover Siskiyou and Leave No Trace to develop stewardship messaging that is unique to Siskiyou County. And then we will ideally go out there with trail hosts to different trailheads, like at Lake Siskiyou. We'd love to be able to do that at Lake Siskiyou. We're looking at a partnership with the Rec and Park District in Mount Shasta to do this work in their parks, and then also working with the U.S. Forest Service to do tabling outreach and education at their, like, Bunny Flat, Castle Lake, probably not the South Fork. And then, of course, we'd love to be able to do some of that work at Lake Siskiyou. So it's a combination between public outreach and education, friendly faces at trailheads, welcoming people, saying, here's the garbage can. Did you know that the fire danger is really high here in Siskiyou County? And one wrong move, and the whole area goes up in flames. And then also just simply put, trail trash cleanup. We're also talked to Lake Siskiyou Campground, and they're interested in maybe having some crew members and volunteers do presentations to the families at their little like video area at the lake on weekends. So we see this as a potential solution, just one component of the solution of dealing with our rural recreation areas basically being loved to death is what we kind of want to avoid. We want to just be thinking ahead of the game here, and we want people to come and utilize our beautiful rural areas. We want to maintain our rural identity at the same time, so just sort of that balancing act. We're also really excited about building this program. It's going to create jobs. We'd like to see our big picture goal is 2 full-time trail crew members, and then we have, let's see, a wait list of 60 people waiting to volunteer for this core group. So we want to do training. We'd like to develop partnerships with Cal Fire, with the County Sheriff's Department to do training, to train our volunteers to understand what their roles are in terms of public outreach and education. And there was another piece that I was, oh yes, so we also see this as an opportunity for data collection. There's actually a particular app that we're looking at where our trail hosts, when they are either out in the field, because we're looking at being able to have hosts on bikes with burly trailers to pick up garbage, and just having a presence kind of out on the trails and then at the trailheads collecting data. So for example, if the county had specific information that you wanted to know about recreation user groups and visitors, we're there at the trailhead counting people, you know, the ability to capture or witness things that may be illegal activity, being able to report those things and such. So that's what we're all about. That's our focus these days. And we'd love to get started on a small scale basis this summer. And then expand for next summer and be able to even move around the county to North County if need be. But right now, the biggest need seems to be Bunny Flat, Castle Lake, Lake Siskiyou, Shasty's Park. The Rec and Park District was like, oh my gosh, Justin, we could use you full time just at the city park alone. So there's definitely a need for this. And it's a way for our program to sort of expand, and I wanted to backtrack. One thing that we've been focusing on lately is we're working closely with Senator Daley's office on SB 208, and that was to try to get Siskiyou County into the Sierra Nevada Conservancy's sphere of influence and be available for funding for this kind of work, as well as fire prevention. So any questions about what I just described? Okay.
So I appreciate that you have mentioned countywide. I know when you're first getting started, it's tough to do all, and I appreciate that. But I am curious about the survey. Did it go countywide or just
south? It did. Yeah. I sent it to the chamber here in Wairika, you know, Tule Lake, Doris. We got feedback from people in the Scott Valley, people on the Salmon River. The heat of the intensity, obviously, was South County last year, I think, because we're just closer to the higher populated areas. And, you know, Castle Lake and Bunny Flat and Lake Siskiyou, I think, get the most attention on social media. So we thought we'd try to hit, we got the most feedback about those areas, but definitely concerns from people. In North County, in particular the Salmon River, like, you know, Matthews Creek got pretty hammered last year. I went there last summer. I could not believe it. It looked like a public pool, like the whole watering hole there was just filled with floaties. There were cars, you know, parked down the street, garbage everywhere. I could not believe it. So, campfires too.
It's a beautiful place.
Yeah. Oh gosh, it's absolutely gorgeous.
And I think the contributing factor is COVID. Everybody was looking to get out. Versus, yeah. And I think I think personally that we had a bigger influx than I guess would be the norm.
Right.
And I appreciate you at least stating that, you know, we are tourist oriented. You know, when we lost the forest industry, that's kind of what everybody touted that would save us, and we're still struggling. And
yeah. So
that balance that you're talking about, you know, I'm interested in hearing more about that and how that works out, because I know that that's. We have to have the tourists, right?
We have to have the tourists.
Yes,
yep.
But you know, they can't exploit us at the same time.
Right.
I'll be curious to see how this goes.
Right.
So thank you.
Yeah, and so I'm here just to, you know, inform you of our vision and what we'd like to do, and then I'm not sure what the process would be, but if the county is interested in having us do some stewardship work at Lake Siskiyou, I know that's county property, what that would look like in terms of a partnership or perhaps an MOU. And then we're also seeking funding for the program, so we'd love for you to consider that. If this is something that you think would be of value to the county, we'd love to be able to provide this service.
Yeah. I had a couple of things. Since you mentioned Salmon River, one of the things that I know a lot of people probably don't have this perspective, but the recreation corridor at I-5, you know, really doesn't serve Salmon River in the lower part of the town. I mean, we get a lot of visitation in from the coast, come in that way. So it's a different experience, a different clientele, if you will, and it's a different time of year. There's the peak season, but Salmon River is the best kept secret is when it's snowing here, you can go over there, and it's so much lower in elevation, it's a spring day.
Yeah.
It's very nice. So with that said, there was a Forest Service recreation study done about 10 or 12 years ago for the recreation in the western part of the county. And you might ask the partners to get a hold of that.
Yeah,
it has a lot of good stuff in it as far as where people come from, what they want to experience, and actually hazards to the public, because those are pretty remote places over there. The other question is, you know, I don't know where W.A. Barr County Road stops on North Shore Forest Service starts.
It's just past the archery range. Just before you get to the bridge, by the what they call the boot hole, somewhere right in there.
I was there last week, and what concerns me, I guess, is it's the perfect storm for entrapment during fire. That road has not changed since I lived in Manchester in the 70s, but we encourage a lot of traffic on the North Shore Road. It would seem to me that there might be some public safety grants or something that maybe we could partner with to do something.
Just to that point, again, kudos to our Public Works Department that did some mastication along the road.
Right.
Route that you saw that all the way up along W.A. Barr.
You know, my concern is that because it's most of it's single lane in a lot of places with poor servicing, that you're going to have emergency vehicles coming in to respond to a fire, people trying to get out at the same time. That's just not going to work.
Especially in the busy weekends. I can't remember if I talked about this earlier, but we really see that, you know, doing public outreach and education and cleaning up after people is just like one part of the solution. I know the Forest Service is, they've hopefully getting funding so that they can hire additional law enforcement. So, law enforcement is definitely a key piece there. And I think Discover Siskiyou has done a beautiful job of promoting the area, and we're really excited to work with them to have more messaging about fire safety and, you know, come to our area and visit, but please clean up after yourselves. So,
I just suggest that to keep in mind that the county has a stewardship agreement with the Forest Service.
Uh-huh.
and that a partnership between you and the Forest Service and us, with the Forest Service maybe having some money to throw into ingress and egress, would be a good thing to invest in.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, I Jesse mentions the COVID. I think last year was a pretty good example of all the people that, you know, I've always said they're not going to get on a plane, train, or a bus, but they're going to get in a car and drive.
Yeah.
And they were up there. And the garbage was, you know, over the top. And I would say thank you to our department, Jason Ledbetter. We've got some more hours allocated, but it's not going to be enough. But people already are coming. My wife showed me a video today of Mott Road this past weekend. People going trying to get to the Mossberg. Beyond the top.
Yeah.
I mean, all the way up. I mean, I've never seen it that bad. So I think they're coming again this year. You know, I've conveyed to... Yeah, well, they have. And here's the thing. They're coming back. They're going to go to Salmon River now. I've told Ms. Dowse from the T-Bit side of the equation, you don't need to promote Mount Shasta. You need to promote our
areas.
And I hope you get, you know, part of the education is, hey, go visit, you know, other parts of the county, because we do have, I think if we spread it out, it's more manageable. I think that my fear is that why I'm so upbeat about the fire prevention is that we are going to get people that are not accustomed to camping like we know camping, if you will. And then
not as cautious.
And so, you know, again, I'm already seeing the influx. Ray, if you were there this past week, you saw plenty of people in the parking lot.
I did. You know, and that concerns me as well, too, because typically our folks are pretty fire astute around here with camping and that kind of thing, and I'm concerned that people who typically go to a KOA or someplace like that are going to end up in Salmon River camping and kind of bring that kind of thought process with them. It's just not going to work.
Do you believe that Mount Shasta Parks and Rec is ponying up some money?
Yeah, we're in negotiations with them right now and working on we presented to the city and they're considering as well. Same with the city of Dunsmuir. We were in a little late, but they're definitely interested in working with us next year. And so really what we're seeking is just partnerships with all the landowners and government agencies so that we all can kind of pool our resources together to be proactive and kind of be thinking ahead. We love to partner with people. We're grant writers in our organization. So I know that a lot of the government agencies and landowners are maxed out with time and resources, and that's one thing that we can offer. You know, like what you had mentioned, Ray, about, you know, trying to get some funding for just the roads, fire safety and roads around Lake Siskiyou. And last year we wrote a grant with the Siskiyou County Transportation Commission, and we got that Caltrans grant to do the bicycle and pedestrian plan, so we're pretty excited. That was a way for us to support the county by writing the grant, and then we get to do a bicycle and pedestrian plan. How cool would it be to ride a bike from Dunsmuir to Wairika, and then to Etna and the Salmon River, like one of my favorite places to ride a bike. So,
Justin, do you have information at the Collier Interpretive Center?
You know, we don't, and that's brilliant, because that is such a beautiful interpretive area. That's a great idea.
They would love to have somebody come up and volunteer a little bit of time on a weekend, on a Saturday when it's busy, to talk about what you do, if you have a fire stick that we have there's a TV up there that is a monitor that they constantly roll footage about the area and what's going on. If you had some information they could add to that,
that's a great idea.
That would be huge.
Okay, thank you.
And
so
if your phone number is the phone number that's on here, or if you can give that to me, I can share that with them, and
absolutely,
we could start to collaborate a little bit there.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Marvelous.
And that sort of leads me to sort of a closing thought here, that if you folks have any ideas or feedback around our proposal, you know, it's just for a small group of people, you know, getting feedback from our communities, but you have other ideas and perspectives, and you want
to... So, Justin, you are a nonprofit.
We are a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. We're a 501c3 nonprofit.
With a board that oversees.
Yes, with our board. Laurel Harkness is our board president. I know she's presented a lot. She works closely with Dally's office
She was the instigator for getting us started, and it's moving through. Fingers crossed, yes. It should be.
Yeah, actually, it's being reviewed today.
Yeah.
So we're keeping our fingers crossed.
Thank you, Ms. Artemis, for getting us started. And that should be a bit.
So Sean Doyle is our board treasurer. His family owns Berryvale, the very famous Manchester store. And then John Vona, he works for a timber company, Timber Forest Products. And we have a couple of community members, actually. Ashley Parker, her father-in-law was Jim Parker. He started the Mount Shasta 4th of July run. So we've got a nice small board, and thank you so much for letting me present today.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for coming. We're going to take 5 minutes.